We're coming off, I mean, it's good feeling, good vibes going into this episode, coming off our best episode ever. It's just a shame.
Oh my God, dude.
It's a shame nobody else got to hear it except for us.
Oh, it sucks.
I don't know whose fault it is.
I mean, I asked you if we were recording.
Yes, it's probably my fault. I turn on the auto record feature now.
I was wondering how it recorded right when I came on. I was like, whoa.
That shit is never happening to me again. So The good news is, I guess, well, it's going to be hard to record this episode because for anybody listening, we really did have our best episode ever. It was so good.
It was really good.
I don't remember. It was one of those where I was telling Tara, I was like, it was so good. She's like, what'd you talk about? I was like, I don't know.
Everything.
It was just one of those where it felt so good. It was like one of those, like, I'm not saying we force episodes, but like sometimes we're like trying to stretch it out. We went for like an hour and a half easily an hour and a half and
recorded none of it.
Well, we recorded my side.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So it was my audio that was not recorded.
But now, like, I can't remember what we talked about. Like, I want the listeners to hear some of the things we talked about, but I can't distinguish between what we talk about on a regular basis. And so, I mean, we're probably gonna have to repeat ourselves a couple times because, like I said, we did talk about stuff that I want the listeners to hear us say.
Yeah, and now that you say that, I don't remember either.
Can you kill that blurry background?
Well, I'm actually trying to do that right now.
Okay.
I'm looking for it. That's why I took a bit to answer you. Here we go. Boom. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I was driving nuts too.
Are you standing?
I am standing. Yeah, I've been standing all day today. It's just I'm more productive when I do it.
No, just because the perspective, like, you're higher than your air conditioner right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking?
It's a beer my brother bought me from his local brewery down in Springfield, one of our favorites, 4x4. It's called a Pillow Top. It's like a stout type beer. It's really good.
It looks like a Guinness.
It does. And I'll tell you what, when you pour it, it pours just like a Guinness too. You know how that, like, kind of like slowly like builds up to the top? It's beautiful.
That's called nitrogen.
That's probably what it is then.
It's a gas.
It's really good. It's super smooth like a Guinness too.
Nice.
So what are you drinking? N.A.?
Guinness Zero.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers to that. I think we did.
Dude, I don't even remember. I really don't remember how we start off. I don't remember what we touched on. I don't remember any of that.
I think we did. It was St. Patrick's Day. So I think.
Oh, that's right.
I just know because I went back and listened. I started it off with like, top of the morning to you. St. Patrick's Day. And then I think we actually talked about sobriety for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We did touch. We talked about that for a bit.
Yeah.
Well,
and, yeah.
Go ahead. I mean,
I think you mentioned.
I asked you
me being skinny.
Yeah.
And then you said, can we talk sobriety? And I said, yeah, we could talk sobriety. And it's actually funny. We were on the phone before and, I'm trying to grow this like running Instagram and I've made a couple of reels about sobriety. And I mentioned that that's been kind of like the most DMs that I've been getting from people, in response to that reel. And
what are they saying?
They're saying things like, and they pretty much want to know, not to like pry at me, but they want to know like, how much was I really drinking? Like, was I a full-blown alcoholic? Was I falling over? Because what I'm finding, and over the last 3 months or so of my sobriety, I'm finding that there's a lot of people out there that have what they'd call a healthy relationship with alcohol, but they want to stop, but they feel like only alcoholics need to stop drinking. Like what I've seen and realized is that there's like really two boxes for drinking. You're either an alcoholic or you're not. There's no gradient. There's no like journey between like I casually drink and every once in a while I binge drink. I only drink on the weekends, but when I do, I get after it. And like, I need to see meetings. Like there's no gradient. So
well,
I
here's think, one thing. Go Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, one thing I've always thought of is like, so if you asked yourself, could you stop drinking forever? And the answer is no. Does that make you an alcoholic?
Well, yeah, but I don't see.
I feel like probably most people are alcoholics then.
Well, and here, well, first off.
Right? I mean.
Well, here's the thing. I probably am then
if that's the case. Like, I don't want to stop drinking.
If you have to ask yourself that, then yeah, you probably are. But I mean, alcoholism is the only self-diagnosed disease, but it's kind of like if you had to stop, would you, does that make you an alcoholic? It's like, I more want to reframe the question of like, why wouldn't you? And as somebody that I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I used to have so much fear saying that. And that's kind of been like the beauty of Brad Finn Runs, that Instagram is like, I'm not afraid to talk about that. And I've tried to stop drinking before. We know it's not great. We know it's not good. And some people do have what they'd call a healthy relationship with alcohol. I don't know. I do not. You know, first sip gets me drunk kind of guy. And but now, and even when I was plant-based, I never pushed plant-based on anybody. You know, but I think back to like the questions and the DMs that I'm getting, I'm finding out that there's a lot of people that want to stop, but like don't know what to say to themselves. Like, if I tell myself I'm going to stop drinking, does that mean I have a drinking problem? Or if I tell other people I'm not drinking, are they going to think I had a drinking problem? Like, there's a lot of people in that like middle ground of like, I was in my 20s. I socially drank a bunch and I loved it. Now I'm in my 30s. I'm getting hangovers for many more days. I got kids or I want to find fitness again. And I know I probably shouldn't drink, but it's so much easier. Or like for me, it was socially like, am I going to lose friends? No one's going to want to hang out with me, all these things. And there's just people that are asking like, is it cool if I'm not an alcoholic and I just don't drink today? And I don't want to be I'm definitely not the voice of sobriety. All right, I'm not the poster boy for sobriety. I'm going to most likely drink alcohol again. And I told you today, I'd like to go 1 year. I have a lot of fitness goals and I'm like I said, almost 3 months in. I think the actual day is like 85, 86, something like that.
Well, do you think, so if you did a year of no alcohol, do you think after that, that'll help you at all? If you did start drinking again, like, you know, let's say a year.
Can I find a healthy relationship?
Yeah.
No. Nah.
You don't think so?
I'm too manic, man. I'm too all in. And I don't know, maybe, but here's the beauty of the situation. I wasn't planning on stopping drinking. Mm-hmm. I said to myself in the new year, as I say most years, I'm going to do dry January. I'm going to start off the year dry. That was to get through January was my only goal. And I've done it probably, I want to say like 10, 15 years in a row. I've tried it. And you know, something comes up, you know, there's always something that goes on, whether it's Super Bowl party, my daughter's birthday's in January. And it's just, you get that one snow day where you just want to hang out by the fire and drink bourbon all day. Like there's just always something. And when I got to the end of January, and it came quick, I was like, shit, like I feel incredible. And it also coincides with I got a new fancy Garmin watch, which tracks like
that thing is nice, dude.
So much freaking data that I'm literally over the month of January watching my overnight heart rate just plummet, dude. Mm. And I'm like, all right, 1 week it's dropped. It's but like now 3 months later.
So you sleep with that thing on?
Yeah.
Does it bug you?
Some nights, like maybe like once a week, I got to take it off. Like I just don't want anything on my wrist, but generally no. Cause I'm sleeping so good, dude. I'm sleeping so good.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to toss it, dude, I'm crashing, but I'm sleeping with my heart rate in the low 40s. You know, my whole life I've been sleeping. I have data back now 3-4 years of overnight sleeping in my low 60s. In the weekends when I'm really drinking, in the low 70s.
See, I have no idea what mine
is. We're talking 20 beats per minute for the whole night, every night. I was losing like, I'm getting back like almost 10,000 heartbeats a night. Mm. And like for that stuff, and I'm like, you know me, I'm a data nerd. And when I got to
the end, Hang on, think about that for a second, dude.
I do think about it. That's,
wow.
That's what I think about. In the last 3 months, I've saved myself close to 1 million heartbeats. And when I say...
When you think about that, dude, that could be... I don't know what that would be in like a lifetime, but if you do that for a whole year, think about how much that could add, like how much stronger your heart could be. Damn.
When I say I saved myself 1 million heartbeats, what I did was I went back and I took my average heartbeat, for the whole day, and I did it for Q4, and I came up with an amount of heartbeats. And then I did the exact same thing. We're about to be out of Q1. Wow. And it's close to 1 million heartbeats difference.
What's this Garmin watch? What's this called? That's something I would like to. Can you do that with anything? Like, does Apple Watch do that?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. But it depends on your track data. Now, I will also say too, because there's going to be the skeptics out there. I, in Q1, have run more than Q4. So when I run at a very high elevated heart rate. So not only is my lower heart rates lower, my higher heart rates are way higher than Q4, and I'm still 1 million heartbeats under.
Is that bad or good?
It's
like, is it bad that your heart rates is faster?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I could be 1 million heartbeats under if I had the same exact, like, maybe I was really fit. So my high heart rate for the day was like in the 150s for Q4. Mm. And then I stopped exercising in Q1 and it was 120s for the day was my high. What I'm saying is, like, I pushed at higher heart rates, higher intensities throughout the whole day. I trained more in January, February, and March than I ever have.
I liked it.
And my total heartbeats was still 1 million less than it was in Q4.
I would like to know that about me, like what my stuff is. I don't measure any of that stuff.
And I knew I had, this race coming up in April.
Yeah.
And when I got to the end of January, I was like, I was also down like 20 something pounds. I'm almost at 60 pounds down now since I started the mile streak in June of last year. So I was at kind of a plateau Q4, and I was like, all right, I like where my weight's at. And then, dude, I can't even keep weight on now. I'm in an eating contest. So I got to the end of January. I'm sleeping better. All my vitals are better. My blood pressure's down. Everything's down. I'm running faster. I'm losing weight. My wife is telling me on a regular basis that I'm more patient. I'm a better dad. I'm up earlier with the kids.
You're
I'm
sexier.
I'm more active with the kids. Yeah, I'm a little, my bod. You know, when you lose the stomach, other parts start to look big. It was just
wants to touch you a little more.
Yeah. So it was like, and this whole episode's not going to be about alcohol, guys. I promise. But. The other thing,
finish this beer.
No, but the other thing was, and this goes back to the Guinness Zero where we started. My friends and family didn't give a shit like I thought they would. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Now, I think the mistake I used to make when I used to try and stop drinking, people would be like, "You're not drinking today?" And I'd be like, "Oh no, I quit drinking. I think I'm going to quit drinking. I'm not drinking this month." And people would be like, "Oh, okay, Brad, you know." Yeah. But this time it was not today.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it right now.
This time, or I'm driving, I got the kids. Who's going to be like, "Oh, you got the, you could have a couple of years driving with the kids"? Like, that's not the type of people I hang out with.
Right.
And it was very easy for me, and people know my background, fitness. It was very easy to be like, I got this ultra marathon in April. I'm just trying to cut back and I got a long run in the morning. And no one's going to be like, you could do a 20 mile run with a hangover. No one's going to do that. So so nobody's questioning it. And then, dude, the breweries are fucking killing it, man. Heineken Zero is a Heineken. Last weekend for the first time, I had Stella Zero and it was a Stella. And then I was like, oh, St. Patrick's Day, blah, blah. And the guy at the beer distributor is like, you know, they make Guinness Zero. and I had Guinness Zero, and I'm like, you mean I can have a cold lager that tastes like a beer and not get drunk? And I can have a Guinness when I'm feeling like a St. Patrick's Day, or if I want a stout, you know, like I didn't necessarily need to, I like the taste of beer. I used to own a brewery. I like,
right.
So the psychological part of like happy hour, my brother comes over, I just drink six Heineken Zeros. I still get bloated, you know, it's empty calories, you know, but
you run 20 miles the next day.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't feel like shit. So,
well, dude, I'll say this, man, I would say if like it motivates me to say the least, like to hearing that it makes me want to drink less, you know, I don't drink like a lot, but I mean, I'm definitely like an every weekend type of guy. Like yeah, I mean, every you, weekend I'm, but it's like, you know, sometimes some weekends it may be like two beers at, mm-hmm. you know, the father-in-law's house. And some weekends it may be, well, some weekends it's not. You know, it's not every weekend, but yeah, I mean.
Well, Jay, I've been with you and you are able to say no very easily and you cannot be bullied into drinking. I've tried.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean.
But it's still motive. I mean, mine's more for like the health perspective though, dude.
I'm sure you've gone times where just because you have a good relationship with alcohol, or like, I remember saying to you, like we do the podcast and I'd be like, you're not grabbing a beer. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I don't have any. I'm like, you don't have fucking beer.
Yeah, I know.
What do you, I got 25 different types.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, well, pour yourself a margarita. You'd be like, I don't have any alcohol in my house right now.
Right.
But me, that was so foreign. And so, I mean, yeah, but
the aspect of it though, like if you really think about it though, dude, like I'll tell you this, I don't remember the last time I've gone a month without drinking. I mean, maybe high school.
Try it. April's coming up. Go April. Your birthday's on the 31st. Yeah,
it is. Yep.
Yeah. So give yourself a birthday present and just try it. Go one day at a time. Because if the same for me, like once I got past a month, now don't get it twisted. And I've told you, I've called you up. Like today's a tough day for me, but like I want to drink.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the people that you can call that will support. And if you don't have that person, I'll be that person, you know, like that's the DMs that I'm getting. Like, my wife doesn't really get why I want to stop. She doesn't think I'm, you know, like for, and I say to them, like, dude, I fell in love with my wife partially because she was crushing pints with me when we were in our early 20s at the bar all night. And I thought that was so, you know?
Is she still drinking?
Yeah.
Does she drink at the house like on a Friday with you, or does she not drink at all? She does.
Yeah. She's a drinker. She's training too, but she was also always able to have one glass of wine with dinner and that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah. Where, you know, same with when I was plant-based. I never expect people to do what I'm doing, and I never push my agenda on people because that doesn't get you anywhere. You know, it's like, and the cliche, like, you know, bees don't waste their time telling flies that honey tastes better than shit. And it's...
I like that.
And it's...
That's a good one. That's a tweet, dude.
I would much rather, you know, be happy.
Hang on, say that again.
Bees don't waste time explaining to flies that honey tastes better than shit.
That's so good. I'm literally tweeting that after this.
But I don't think it works though, because I don't think, well, bees do eat honey. Yeah, so I guess it works. But, you know, I'd much rather. Be a glossary or a dictionary or anything like a mirror for my kids, you know, and a mirror for anybody else, because, you know, my journey is inspired by many other people, whether it's celebrities like this guy, Rich Roll, that I really, really look up to, or just anybody, or even Gilly, one of our listeners who probably still listens. I know he was, you know, going through recovery and stopping drinking, and, you know, those people inspired me. But I just was never really ready yet, you know? And when my daughter got old enough to like see what I'm doing, like I remember very impactfully, my parents drank. I come from an alcoholic household. So drinking was always normal. It was regular. And seeing my parents intoxicated, even being a kid, not knowing that they were intoxicated, but knowing that they weren't themselves was normal. But I will never, ever forget. I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, the same age as my daughter, where I saw my father smoke a cigar with my uncles once. And I think back now, they were in their late 30s, early 40s. And I just remember being like, and we, and my dad smoked cigarettes from time to time, but it was like the visual of a cigar just had this like monumental impact on me. Like, my dad, he smokes those things. I didn't think. And I'm thinking to myself like, wow, Avery might become totally used to me just being drunk or me staying in bed till 9 in the morning. And that was it for me. Cause you need to switch. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to try it. But if you get to a month, there's a pretty good chance, you know, you just, it's kind of like the mile streak. When you get to day 50, you can't stop, you know, mile streak 282 today.
Yes. You want to say hi real quick?
Hi.
What up, Mace? It's got that fresh cut.
That's right. We got that Florida cut. I got it too.
He probably can't hear me though.
No, he can't. He's saying hi. You can't hear him, can you?
No.
That's all right.
All right,
we'll have to come out to Florida when we get down there, won't we? Yeah. All right.
Speaking of which, I was going to say you're back. I mentioned before you got the same backdrop. You're back in Missouri.
Yep, back in good old Missouri.
But Missouri isn't home anymore. No more home sweet home.
We are going to be officially Floridians.
But you're currently homeless.
Well, until April 28th, we'll be officially homeless. That's our closing date.
Okay.
So
that's kind of cool. Like you go from like, I'm a millionaire homeless guy.
Yeah, basically. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what we'll be.
Like, I mean, I've moved and I've bought houses, but I've never, ever, and I don't want, you know, my anxiety, my butthole's puckering just thinking about this. Guys, I still have the same mouth even when I'm not drinking. So all you, those times where you're listening to podcasts and I got a little loosey on the tongue and you're like, oh, Brad's drunk. No, guys. Brad's
drinking.
No, guys, this is me. But anyway, I've never been put in a position where I had to buy a house because I literally was not going to have one.
Yeah. It's what a weird.
What the fuck is that like?
It's a weird spot to be in, man. Because like not only is it like, you know, we got to find something. I mean, we could rent, but we really don't want to. But we also are, I feel like we're overpaying for homes right now. Like, so where we're moving in Florida is a very like sought after place. A lot of people are moving there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, like we look at what these people were paying for homes back in 2020. And it's their prices now are $250,000 more.
Yeah, but what about the house you're selling? Same.
Well, not $250,000 more, but it's more. Percentage, it's more, yeah.
Percentage-wise increase?
Not quite as much, but it's still a decent amount. I mean, mm-hmm. It's probably half of the amount in percentage increase is what these people are seeing, but maybe even less than that. It's Florida real estate, dude, is... And I was talking to my realtor the other day, and he goes, dude, I was like, this is what my biggest concern is. My biggest concern is buying a piece of property that my family's going to live in. And here's our thought, though. We're buying a house that we're going to live in for the next 20 years.
Right.
So, like, that makes me feel a little better. Is like, even if I do buy it and equity goes down $100,000, you know, within the next year and a half, if we have a major recession, it most likely will come back in the next 5 to 10. Now, if we have some crazy life changes and we move back home to Missouri, then that would suck. But like, we don't plan on it. You know, like obviously life changes all the time, but we don't plan on it. So that makes us feel a little better. But right. Dude, I'm that's my biggest concern about the move.
Can I tell you what my biggest fear would be if I was you?
What?
I'd be afraid that I'd be forced to buy something that I wasn't happy with, just knowing that I needed to have something.
So I'll say this, that's a great point and that's good. But think about where we're coming from and think about where we're going to.
It's going to be pretty shitty for you to get something that's not an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, every house we're looking at is tenfold better than what we're living in right now. So like, even if we buy the shittiest house that we have saved on Zillow, it's still 100 times better of a house than what we're living in right now.
Talk to me about what it's like psychologically knowing that you, to a lot of people, are the mortgage-free guy. You're not going to be able to pull this off mortgage-free, right?
No, we're not. We're definitely going to take another mortgage, and we're going to be above 6.5% on an interest rate. That's a tough pill to swallow, dude. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Especially coming from a guy who paid off his mortgage when he had a 3.5% interest rate.
Well, so what do you say now to that debate of like, are you put in a position where you regret paying off your house early at a 3% interest
rate? No way.
You're still going back, you still do it again.
Oh, 100%, dude. I mean, I got lucky, I guess, too, like with what happened with the stock market after I paid off my mortgage. Like, if I would have taken the capital I used to pay off my mortgage, which was like a little over $130,000, I think it was. If I would have stuck that into the stock market when I paid off my mortgage, I would be down money.
Dude, that is such, and that's probably been the best part about this down market, is it kind of squashed the whole invest before paying off debt.
Well, like, wait, dude, you got to think about it. We've been in a bullish market for 10, 12 years.
But nobody ever saw the downside, right? So when guys like us were preaching, like, you got to pay off your debt first, and everyone's like, I'm putting it in the market. If 4 years ago you had debt and you invested the money instead of paying off your debt, now, at this time, you'd still have the same debt that you paid a little bit back on. You would have paid all that principal, and your investments would be worth less than when you started a couple years ago.
Yep.
Absolutely. So it completely just squashed the you should invest before paying off debt.
And my mortgage went, or my equity in my property, the value of my home went up during that time.
So essentially was an investment.
Yeah. I made money on the money.
Even though your home isn't a primary, isn't an investment, but
I think it is.
Yeah.
Kind of. I see both arguments. I'm kind of in the middle on that one. Yes, it doesn't cash flow. It doesn't make you money. But over time, most people can say they've sold their home at a gain.
Do you know how much you saved in interest by paying off your mortgage?
I don't. I haven't done that calculation yet.
You motherfucker. Do it.
I know. I should.
How many times am I going to ask you this?
I know. You have asked me that quite a bit. I don't know, man. I mean, I think it over the lifetime of the mortgage, it would be a lot. But since my mortgage was so small, like, it probably isn't like as massive as you're thinking, because we're only thinking like a 3-year time period here.
I paid $11,000 in interest last year.
You did?
Yeah, $11,500. I only know that because I just did my taxes.
See, I don't know what mine would have been.
My mortgage, I think, is like $250. I have like $250 left.
Oh, left? Okay. Yeah.
But we've mentioned before, like, I'm liquid $250 in savings. Yeah. And I'm in a position where, like, if I lost my job or needed to, that's where that $250 would go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'd
be totally fine.
Yeah. If I lost my job, I'd pay my mortgage off tomorrow. But I have a little bit higher risk tolerance personally because of how secure my income is and my extremely low interest rate under 3%.
So here's my debacle. Okay.
I love debacles.
So I'm going to remove into Florida. We have a lot of cash saved up that we're going to include on the down payment, but I take that back. We're keeping quite a bit of the cash in our savings account, like more than usual. So this house, we're selling for $225,000. So we'll get $225,000 in cash from the sale of this house. We're thinking about pulling out another $25,000 in cash to include in the down payment. So we'd have a down payment of like $250,000. So $250,000 would be our down payment. The homes we're looking at range between like mid fours to high to mid fives. Like, we're probably going to buy something around $550,000, I would guess.
Yeah.
Just because of where we want. So we're coming in at like a 45% down payment, somewhere around there. Here's the debacle. I have a feeling, again, this is speculation. I have a feeling, excuse me, that Florida real estate, even if we have a recession, there may be another 20-30% correction in Florida real estate over the next couple of years. But over the next 5 to 10 years, I feel like Florida real estate will exponentially increase in value. I could be wrong. But with that, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be as aggressive on paying off my mortgage as I was living in Missouri.
That's my next question for you. I have it written down right here.
Like, don't get me wrong. We're still going to be aggressive on paying off the mortgage. Every single mortgage payment will have extra money going towards principal.
But how can you say so quickly, like, don't regret it at all on this one? Like, I would do it again in a heartbeat and then have that debacle.
A couple of reasons. So we've talked about this before. The reason I was so gung-ho on paying off my mortgage before was because Lindsay didn't work. I had a brand new baby. My business still wasn't quite, I wasn't quite sure where it was going. There was a lot of unknowns in my life and a lot of things. I had a lot of responsibilities on top of that. So that was like a concoction of just a lot of stress for me. To where in Florida, Lindsay's going to be working. She's pretty much going to have a set, secure job as a nurse in Florida. So that's income that we're going to be getting that we never really expected or that we've had in the past three years. So that's guaranteed income coming in. Another thing is my businesses are a little more stable now. And Dividend Tracker's doing well. It is. It's doing well. So, and that's a business that can't go away overnight like YouTube can. Like, YouTube can shut the light off on your channel and you're done for. Dividend Tracker, I feel like, takes a little bit more time to decline. Now, it could definitely go out of business, but it's one of those businesses that can't, like, we're not relying on YouTube, you know? Like, it's definitely something that could withstand a little more tough times. And if it did decline or if it did go out of business, it would take a little bit until we went to zero. So that makes me feel a little bit more confident as well. And also with the amount of down payment we're putting down on this property is, you know, substantial. And overall, dude, I feel a lot more confident in myself and making money as well as my wife having a job than I did 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I had no idea how I was going to, you know, I didn't know how long YouTube was going to last. I didn't know what I was going to do after YouTube. I didn't know what my future looked like. My wife wasn't working. So there was a lot of unknowns. So now I feel more confident.
You have more secure income.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with this house, you were eliminating risk and liability.
Absolutely.
Because you were living a more risky life financially. For sure.
I had no idea where income was coming from.
Well, now you're like almost like an adult. Yeah. And you've got big boy money.
Getting there. Yeah. Hopefully we have big plans too over the next few years, like with stuff and businesses and investing in real estate and things of that nature, to where I do feel confident in myself now. And I'm also a little older, like you said, I'm a little more wise. So yeah, well, I'm gonna do a shameless plug here. Follow the journey on JJ Does Real Estate.
Yeah. New YouTube channel. Fucking starting a new YouTube channel. Oh, sucks.
Dude, I know it sucks, but it is fun though. Like, you know, it there's something about it, dude. It takes me back to the old days of, like, I've only shared it once or twice on my main channel. So, like, it's still kind of like I'm brand new. You know, so like everything I make is just kind of like brings me back to, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever we were doing the group live streams and, you know, those, all the other YouTubers and
that noise.
Oh, dude, I know.
But I'm growing a channel too. And I hate it, dude. I hate it.
There's something about it though, man, like starting from scratch. And like the cool part that I like about it is using the techniques that I know now.
Right.
On a brand new channel that I know is going to benefit. Like before, I was hesitant on putting out so many evergreen type videos, but in this channel, I have a focus on more evergreen content.
Right.
And I think that's going to benefit me in the long run.
Tell people what evergreen content means.
Evergreen content is basically a video you put up that is always going to get views. It's a topic that the viewer or a viewer is always looking to watch. It's not something that can get really outdated.
Yeah, it's timeless.
Yeah, like when I make a video on my stocks or my portfolio or, you know, news or whatever, like that's maybe gets views for, you know, a couple weeks, maybe a couple months at most. To where evergreen content is usually on a specific topic and it's usually teaching something that doesn't really change. Like, for example,
it's my channel.
Yeah, literally. It's, you know, the base, it's on a niche topic. So like the video I did recently, that's an evergreen content example, is I did one on, so I'm selling this house for sale by owner. So I took it through the process of, hang on, I got to mute this because if you're going to hear it, if I don't, I went through the process of talking about the step-by-step procedures of listing your house and selling your house for sale by owner. And it's like a 20-minute video of literally step-by-step process of how I'm doing it. So like that's, if somebody searches on YouTube, hey, I'm interested in selling my home and not having to pay $20,000 in realtor fees, how can I do this and save that money? Well, my video most likely is going to pop up because I titled it correctly. You know, I added some words in the description and tags. And, you know, if somebody's searching that, I'm hoping over time that video picks up and is always a video people will see whenever they're looking to sell their home for sale by owner.
With all your traveling around the country, do you have a different position than you had a year ago about like the phrase cost of living?
Oh, 100%, man. That's a great question because I think we've probably had episodes where we've talked about you paying, you know, your $12,000 in taxes or whatever the hell it is.
It's 12.
You know, it's...
And 12 in flood insurance.
Yeah, like it's... I 100% have a change of mind because living in... And we've done it before, like, you know, pre-last year of traveling. Like, we lived in Hawaii for a year and did all that stuff, but I will say, like, having kids, understanding lifestyle, different lifestyles, what's out there, where I live now compared to where we lived during traveling. Dude, we just, like, I'm not going to hate on small towns because I grew up in a small town and I think it's a great way to raise a family. But what else is out there available to families that may cost a little bit more? I think makes up so much more in the experiences you get with, like, dude, like, we've been here for 2 weeks now since we've been back from Arizona and we are bored as shit.
Have you had Starbucks?
I did have, I actually got Starbucks this morning. I had to run north to do some errands for the house, but
how far away is Starbucks?
Like 30, or well, actually they put a new one. It's probably like 20 minutes north.
20 minutes.
But that's close. That's like the next town up is 20 minutes away. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a treat when you go up there too. You're like, all right, I'm going to the city. You know? And it's like a town of 20,000 people.
They got three story buildings there.
No, they don't. No, they got three. No. No, not three story buildings. Maybe. Yeah. No, I don't think so. But no, you're that's a great question though, man, because we've definitely changed in that aspect of just really understand, like, living in an area where there's always things to do,
right,
really does play a factor. And like, and this isn't for every, and that's not for everybody, but for us as a family,
everyone doesn't need stuff to do.
Yeah. But for us, it really does change how we feel and, you know, how we wake up every day. And but you also have to think too, like, we have the time to do it as well. You know, like, we have the time to get up and go places, and I don't know, man.
You make a great point, because one of the things that I preach about living in New York is we're close to the beach, close to the city, close to many sports teams, close to wineries, close to hiking, close to skiing. And you make a great point that, like, if I worked all summer long,
yeah,
and I wasn't a teacher and I didn't get to utilize the beach literally every day for a third of the year, that might not make it as worth it.
Well, yeah, because I would say 98% of the families that live in Missouri, and especially in the town we live in, you know, most of them work year round. Mm-hmm. And most of them, you know, are leaving at 5:30 in the morning and they're not getting home till 6-7 o'clock at night because they have to drive an hour to St. Louis. Excuse me. You know, their jobs are more than 8-hour jobs. You know, you're there after lunch and everything, 9, 10, if you're in construction, sometimes 11, 12 hours a day. And when you don't have any time, the last thing you're going to do is come home and be like, hey, let's go on a hike. You know, like, you're not going to do that. You're exhausted. You don't have any money to do it anyways.
You say, crack me a beer, please.
Yeah, crack me a beer. Let's watch and turn on Netflix and go home and like, or go to sleep. Like, you know, so our, since our lifestyle has changed, and we, and I will say this, and I'm proud of us for doing this, and I'm doing like a humble brag here, but we worked to get to this point. Mm-hmm. You know, like we weren't just born and be like, all right, we have time to do this. No, we, it took sacrifice to get here.
Right.
You know, we had took risk and chances, and, you know, we saved money when we probably could have gone out or done whatever. But over time, that compounds on it, each other. And now we do have the time. Like, I still got to work and shit, obviously. It's not like I just have the freedom to do whatever, but we've set our lives up to enjoy life, because I could die tomorrow, dude. I don't want to spend my entire life working, you know, to make ends meet. And we try to explain that to our kids too. Like, Millie's too young to understand, but Mason's old enough now where I'm like, I want him to understand that what he's experiencing with me and Lindsay is not normal.
My daughter has no idea that, like, all parents don't have the summer off.
Right.
Like, she's getting ready to do Easter break. Right. So at her pre-K, she's in a pre-K that used to also be here daycare. And we have spring break coming up, and her schedule follows the school schedule. So when the West Side Sub School District is out, so is she. And, but she has kids in her class that are 12-month kids that don't have Easter break off. So when I told her, like, hey, no school in next week, you know, we're going to take off, she's like, blah, 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 is going to school. And like, I had to explain to her that, like, when you're done with school and you come home and we travel all summer and we go to the beach every day, like, everyone's mommy and daddies don't do that. Right. And it's, yeah, I want them to see that. I'm not saying I want them to be teachers, but I want them to know that the life that we're giving them is the life that we're building. And it's the life that we sacrifice to make for them. It's not just, it is.
Well, you know? And I'm sure that was part of your decision in going that route too.
Yeah, of course. No, of course. I mean, in the beginning it was selfish, because even as a 20 or 30 year old having weekends, summers and holidays, I've never worked in
sign
the
summer
since I was a kid. Yeah. Like, when I was 17, I was doing roofing, you know, to make ends meet, because my dad was like, get out of the house. But like, since I've been 23 years old, I've never worked a day over. It's never been like, this is a big one we get with the, because I'm close to the city, so you get a lot of commuters. But like, the one or two holidays that really hit for me are like, people will be talking like, oh man, what day does 4th of July fall on? Like, is it fall on a Friday where I'm going to get a long weekend?
Or I remember that.
We have to go back after 4th of July? Do we have to go back after Christmas? What day does a holiday fall on? I'm like, shit, I don't care what day 4th of July is on.
I'm off work,
bitch. I'm just getting started on 4th of July. Let's go, baby. You know, I've only been off a week. I still got 9 more weeks. Or like, you know, and those things are priceless. You know, and man, that's freaking... I'm glad that you changed your mind about the cost, because it is such a, like, people want to like hold on to that. Like, the cost of living crowd, they'll fight it like the dividend crowd will. You know, they will die on that hill that their property taxes are only $500 a year. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing that would make any sense to them whatsoever of how I could justify, even with my increase, because that's the other thing you're seeing too. When you live in places that have higher taxes, the incomes are also a little bit higher. There's more job opportunities. There's more ways to make money in these places. Like, I could lose my job and I could figure out a way to make 75K with no skills pretty easily.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't think that's the same everywhere. I don't think there's entry level $75,000 jobs just like chilling like a villain, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even where we live, most people I talk to driving, dude, think about this. Most people I talk to, a lot of people that work up in the city are driving an hour plus to work.
Well, it's me in Manhattan. People driving, taking the train. You met my buddy.
I could not imagine that, dude.
You met my buddy TJ. He used to take the 5:15 train. I think I made a video about him back in the day. He'd get on the train at 5:55. Thank God, like, he gets to work from home now. Like, that was a blessing for so many people in Manhattan. He was getting on the train at 5 o'clock in the morning, get home at 7 o'clock at night. And he had a kid, a newborn.
Dude. What?
You know,
that's
like
520 hours a year in travel time. Wow.
And I mean, the driving's worse.
That's 22 days of the year just in traveling.
Right. Now, like on the train, they can get work done. They could watch movies. Like driving, that's got to be the worst.
Ugh.
You know something I want to talk about? We got a voicemail.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And now we don't have to play the voicemail.
But I can play it. I'll download that. Let me play it real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I can just talk about it quick while you bring it up, and then we can actually get it on air. If you can get it good to the mic, because I don't want to have to edit it.
Yeah, no, but I got it good to the mic. It's right here.
But, you have it right now?
Yeah.
Okay, go. I guess you'll be able to hear what it sounds like in your headphones.
Yeah, you will. Hang on, let me turn it up.
Hey, Brad. Hey, JJ. My name is Joe. I followed both of you individually, and then I found out you have a shared podcast, which I was happy to find out about. A nice treat. So I've been watching a bunch of episodes of those. And I like it. You guys are doing a good job individually and together. My question is, if you're doing the wheel strategy and, you know, you're selling calls, and the price of a stock goes down and down and down or down like 50%. How do you sell calls on that going forward? Do you keep it at the average price or where you got in, where you got assigned a put to begin with? Or do you just go for a certain percentage above where it's at right now? Yeah, just your thoughts on that. Thank you.
So here's my shameless plug. I have a book on the wheel strategy, and the only reason I bring it up is because I just released, revamped it a little bit. Now I added some stuff, new cover, like edition two, if you will. And you can get that on Amazon if you just search Brad Finn. I'm not going to put a link. Just if you want, it's Brad Finn, you know, go on Amazon, look it up. But, one thing I do say in this book, and it's going to be pretty consistent with my answer even now, is when you pick a wheel stock, you need to pick a stock that you want to own.
For sure.
And you are willing to own for a long time for this example. Now, when the book first came out, once again, in this amazing bull run, everyone's like, stocks aren't going to go down, you know? And I've made videos because you and I both, even in our joint account, we've gotten caught with our pants down. And the simple answer is you're a bag holder, man. And my rule number one is do not write calls above your average cost, above your cost basis, because that is the only way you can lose in the wheel strategy. I've said that the wheel strategy is win-win. You can't lose. And everyone's like, that's ridiculous. If you write a strike price above your cost basis and get assigned, you are going to make a capital gain. It's simple as that, plus premium. It's as simple as that. So I would be lying if I said that I've never, ever written a call below my cost basis. There's two times in which I've done that. Number one, when I've been wheeling a stock for a really long time and my adjusted cost basis, meaning the money I've collected from premiums, has lowered my actual cost basis. I've stopped doing that because I don't like to calculate it anymore. Like calculating my adjusted cost basis, like I don't need to do that anymore. That would be another time. Another time is if I want to take the risk.
Hang on. I think you should explain that a little bit more.
What do you mean?
Adjusting your cost basis.
Okay. So like say I bought the 100 shares at $100. So my cost basis is $100 per share. Now let's say, so that costs me $10,000, 100 times 100, $10,000. Let me make it even easier. We'll make it $1 for 100 shares. All right. So I put up $100 and I got myself 100 shares for $100. Now let's say so that would mean my basis is $1 per share. Let's say I make $25 in premiums writing calls against it. Well, now instead of my investment of $100, my investment's really been adjusted down to $75 because I made $25 on it. So that lowers my now adjusted basis from $1 per share to 75 cents per share. So, I mean, you could, like I said, I don't really want to calculate that anymore. I don't care. I'd also be lying if I said that I've never, oh, here's another time. I just thought of another one. Another time is if I just, frankly, I see a stock tumbling and I'm willing to take the loss. this happened with AT&T, I believe, where like I was holding it and it crashed, and where it was, I thought it was good. No, and even Peloton, it was here. It went down a bunch, and I thought it was going to go down a bunch more. So I wrote to strike there, got rid of the shares, and took the L. So that would be another time. But I'd also be lying if I didn't hold on to shares and write calls above my basis and just risk it at like a really low delta of like 0.2 or something like that. It's all what your risk tolerance is. I've written below my basis, but I understood the risk. I also am virtually an expert roller at this point. I can roll options.
Ooh,
very
rolling's nice.
I can roll options very, very, very easily. But mostly because of liquidity that I handle. So it's really up to you. I would wait and bag hold or write at a really small delta if you have an itch and you're confident it's probably going to go up. Go ahead.
You know what I've also done in that situation, which I'm kind of doing right now, because there's quite a few stocks I'm down too much on to.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. I love that.
Write calls at my cost basis, or like, you know, adjusted cost basis. What are you going to think I'm going to say? I'll tell you if you're right.
Either purchase shares to average down your cost basis or write puts to average down your cost basis.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Like,
that's why, that's why you want to do this strategy with stocks that you're willing to hold or that you want to buy more of if the stock price does go down.
Yeah, like a stock, you pick a stock that you want to wheel and it goes down 50%, you should be like, shit, I want 100 more shares.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Now I can write cash crude puts at even a lower amount, still making premium and averaging down my price.
And if you're like, and that's kind of how we got out alive with Peloton.
Yeah.
Because by the end of the Peloton debacle, at least for me personally, I owned about 600 shares of it. And all the way down, I think I started with a basis of like $42. And then it hung out from 9 to 10 for a long time. So I got my basis down to like almost $14, maybe $15. And then I was writing calls on those 600 shares. And because the volatility of Peloton was so high, the premiums were really, really good. So the only way I was able to get out of that alive was because I averaged down my position. So yes, you're absolutely right. Now, could be tough to do with some of these tech stocks. Like if you're trying to do that with Google, you're dropping another $9,000 on 100 more shares. That might be tough.
That would just be something I would say, like, build up slowly. Like build, buy one or two shares, you know, as much as you can.
Yeah.
Lower your average cost basis and then, you know, see where it goes.
I love the wheel.
So do I.
I love the wheel so much. But I also too, in 2023, I've been shrinking my brokerages.
Okay.
I've been closing accounts because as somebody that wanted to try things for my community and, you know, give people the pros and cons of different brokerages and get my free shares where I could for opening accounts, I started getting like 1099s in the mail and I'm like, holy shit, I have like 12 brokerage accounts.
Same.
So I just close, and not to knock them, I just don't need them. Well, I closed Moo Moo, which was, that was strictly just a money grab. I wanted the free shares.
Yeah.
I closed Webull. I loved Webull. I had a great, great time with Webull. Pretty much what I was using them for was trading options. And then I stopped trading options and trading. I was just primarily trading futures. So I really just didn't need that particular pro and con of Webull. So I got rid of that. And then I took a break from trading futures. So I had a brokerage account for trading futures. I got rid of that. So now, and then I had the dividend portfolio and I sold off the dividend portfolio, which I don't want to talk about because I know people might be driving. I don't want to be swerving into bridges.
Oh my God.
Can you believe what he just said? This can't be true.
What an idiot.
So I combined a bunch of M1 finance accounts. So now, dude, all I have is Vanguard. I have Robinhood and M1. And I have them for their pros and their cons.
Yeah.
Dude, my investing life, I've never been so content. I've never been so happy as I am right now with my whole investing philosophy and my brokerages. I am just so happy.
I'm feeling pretty good about mine too, man. I just did some reconstruction on all my brokerages and I got them down to three also, not including like retirement accounts and stuff. That's all with Vanguard.
Yeah.
But I have my my dividend portfolio with M1 that I talk about on Dividend Freedom. I have my growth / selling options portfolio, wheeling portfolio, if you will. That's with Robinhood. Mm-hmm. That's what I talk about on JJ Buckner channel.
Right.
And I have my VTI focused Fidelity portfolio, which is kind of weird. You got a Vanguard ETF and Fidelity, but it is.
Yeah, like my Vanguard, your Fidelity, which doesn't matter. Yeah. If people are on the fence, it doesn't matter. To be honest, I'd probably go with FIDO anyway because the user interface is just so much better.
Oh, it's, dude, Vanguard sucks. Like when I go to buy stocks or like sell options in my SEP or whatever with Vanguard, it's straight trash.
You're going to hate me for saying this, but I feel like Vanguard is like Chrome. Like I hate Chrome.
Yeah.
You got to freaking sync and log into 9 different things. And then you're like, you stay logged into some things, but not other things. And there's 2 profiles open for you at once. And I hate Chrome. That's how I feel when I'm in Vanguard.
Yeah,
but sucks. Luckily I only have my Roth IRA in there and my solo 401k. So it's like, I don't need to like go in there for anything.
Right.
I go in there once a year to do a backdoor Roth and that's it.
Perfect.
Yeah. One last thing I want to throw you on the carpet. So you said you might try and go dry in April. I think you've conceded the fact that you are not strong enough mentally to do the mile streak. It's never going to happen.
I hate how you put it like that.
I mean, let's call a spade here. Are you physically strong enough to do the mile streak?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So you're mentally weak and you can't mentally tackle 10 minutes a day. That's what 10, well, 10, it's 10 minutes. I mean, it's 8 minutes for me now, but 10 minutes.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
You ran a mile the other day. Well, it was under 10 minutes.
Yeah. It was like 9 something.
So we've accepted the fact that you can commit to 9.5 minutes per day. Right? Right?
I fucking hate this. Yeah, I mean, yeah, basically, dude.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, that's good. So as long as we have that sorted out.
Yeah.
The other thing, you said that, you know, you might want to become a extremely, extremely, extremely small, less than 0.1% of the world's population and complete a half marathon?
I do want to do that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've gone back and forth and, you know, you have some vegan excuses, which are some are valid, some not so much.
Hang on. Vegan excuses? What is that?
That's just like when you make excuses just to not do things. We just call those vegan excuses.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm moving in 6 months, so I can't do.
No. Oh, no, that's not an excuse. I'm not saying I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it in your time frame.
Okay. No. We don't know we don't know where and we don't know when.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. You wanted me to do it when I was literally moving from Missouri to Florida.
No, I want you to do it tomorrow, but I told you I'd be there.
Now that's where I say I don't know if I'm physically capable enough right now to run a half marathon.
I think it would be not a great idea. You'd complete the distance, but you'd feel pretty crappy.
I think my legs would start giving out of me around mile 6.
Yeah. Cause like Tara and I were joking. She's doing this insane race and we went up this past weekend. It's got 5,000 feet of climbing. In 14 miles, it took us 5 hours to complete, where we usually do a half marathon in like maybe 1:45. It took us 5 hours and we were moving. We were going as fast as we could. I said to Tyra, this is not a race. This is an adventure hike. But anyway, can we get it done before the dog days of summer, please?
You mean like, well, so I move
end of April. I don't know if we'll have a house by then. So you're wanting to do it before June? Like
before
in May?
Before 4th of July.
I would. Oh, yeah, that could happen for sure. Before 4th of July? Absolutely.
Okay.
Like because June, end of May, June is kind of what I'm thinking.
So if I find one.
And it gives me enough time to honestly like really train for it.
So if I find one between Jacksonville and New York, you can probably make that happen in the June time frame.
Yeah, I would book the flight today.
Okay, so I'm going to start looking for that.
Okay.
Do you want it to be trail so it's more fun, or you want to do a road one?
No, I'll do road. I'll do whatever.
You're open to whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me say this though. I want you to write me a workout for strictly running.
Yeah. I'll give you a full plan and I'll put it in the Discord.
Do it.
For anybody else that wants to play. And we'll tell you where we're going to go.
Do it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So we'll pick one. I'll pick one and we'll try and do it somewhere cool. And then last, can you please come to my ultra in September? I'm going to need you.
Where's it at?
It's on the Virginia, West Virginia border, but it's in Virginia.
Well, since they asked me, I'm going to spill the beans on something.
Don't say that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I am. Because, and I'll tell you why when I say this.
Go ahead.
What's an ultra, by the way?
I'm running 100 kilometers, which is 62 miles.
So, yes, I can come. But I was going to come anyways.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God. So I text Tara.
Oh, God. These are the beans?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say you were pregnant.
Oh, I can't. That can't happen, dude. If my wife's pregnant, we're getting a divorce.
That's what I thought you were. not because it's a miracle and I don't want you to have a kid, but I knew that if you were pregnant.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Oh, no. I text Tara and I was like, hey, when's Brad's races coming up? And she's like, oh, he has this one. Da, 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 da.
Why do you have my wife's number, bro?
And I said, I'd like to surprise him on one of his races, like at the race.
Why couldn't you keep that surprise?
You kept asking me to come, dude. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I told Lindsay, I was like, Brad keeps telling me to come to his race. I don't know what to tell him.
Okay. So you're coming?
One of them, yeah. It's either the one in Long Island or the one in... The 100K one.
Are you coming in 2 weeks?
Is that the one in Long Island?
Yeah.
No, not that one.
Okay. In September?
I think that's the one I was saying I was coming to. Whichever one. I don't remember what it was, but...
That's the one I need you.
Okay. Well, I'll be there.
That's the one when I'm going to... Yeah, it's got 12,000 feet of climbing.
Do I have enough time to run it with you or no?
No. And dude,
I won't be training. Actually...
You do. My training program starts for it 24 weeks out is April 15th.
What if I just ran it with you?
I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible.
Not ready.
I don't think you have it in you.
Dude, that kind of hurts me.
I don't, not because I just don't, I don't think that your priority, let me rephrase that. I don't think that you can make it a priority enough to make it happen.
So I would have to be a runner, is what you're saying, to do that.
My plan has 60 to 70 miles per week in it.
Oh, man.
It starts at like 25
miles. I can't even run. Dude, I don't even think I can run 10 miles right now.
So I'll tell you this. My 24-week plan has 1,800 miles of running in it with 270,000 feet of climbing in it. And that's running 5 days a week. Do I think you could do it? Yes. Do I want you to do it? It would make me happier than anything in the world to do it with you. Because I feel so alone on this running island. But I know that you are making a major life change.
Yeah.
I know that.
Okay, you, I get what you're saying now.
Yeah. Like, if I put a gun to your head and said, you got to do this, you're going to get it done.
Yeah.
But like, what I don't think you understand is how all in I am for it.
I don't think I you're right. I am willing
to sacrifice most things for this to happen to me.
I need to start with a half marathon first.
Now, here's the beauty. You come and you love it.
Yeah.
Then that's what happened to me. When I signed up for my first Ironman after I went and watched one. And I was like, yo, done. But you could. The other thing is you could sign up and then you could DNF if you don't make the time cutoffs, because there's cutoffs along the race.
Ooh.
That's what I'm going to need you for. I'm going to need you for, Brad, I know you're sitting down and you're having something to eat right now, but if you don't start moving your ass, they're going to pull you off the course because you're not going to make the time cutoff at the next aid station.
Mm.
Or like when Tara's like, Brad, it's okay. I need you to punch me in the face and be like, it's not okay. Go. Get out of here.
Your fucking pussy ass up there and go run.
Yeah, exactly. Because you need Jekyll and Hyde, and Tara's going to be my like,
it's okay, Brad, I'll still love you.
No, she's going to be like, here's your food. Cause you can't think. She's going to be like, here, eat this. She's going to keep track of my calories, where I need you, A, to document it, because with all due respect, Tara, I love you, but you're the worst picture taker ever with an iPhone. I don't know what you're doing. Like, she doesn't, whatever. But I need man motivation.
Yeah.
I'm the guy in the CrossFit gym. Yeah. Like when I'm doing burpees and I'm on my belly, I need someone being like, get on your feet. Like, yeah. Like I don't do well, like breathe. You're doing good. Yeah. Like I'm not that tight.
Another one.
I respond to negative feedback. Like, you know, like this is not, and that's really why I don't need you as a friend. I need you because you know me and you know what motivates me, and also too, like you're my best buddy. So like, granted, I'm going to have my wifey there, but nobody else understands, but you'll get it. Cause like you did sports and also too, one of my brothers can't come. So that's like breaking my heart a little bit. He's in a wedding. I understand. I completely understand. It's breaking his heart that he can't come, but like my other brother's going to come. Like this dude, it's going to be a 17, 18 hour day. I'm going to be out there a long time. And I'm going to go to dark, but this is what I want, is why I want to do it. Because in Ironman, I've gone to dark places, but this is going to be dark like no other. And literally I'm going to have to run through the Shenandoah Valley in the dark.
So I'll say this. I'm on board.
Yes.
I'll come.
Yes.
When am I going to get that program to run that half marathon?
Yeah. I mean,
April 1st, I start. As well as doing a dry month of drinking.
I mean, you know me, man. I'm not like a why wait till April 1st.
So to stop drinking tonight?
No. I'm not telling you to stop drinking, but I'm saying if you're going to start running or you're going to stop.
I mean, I'll run tomorrow, but where's the program?
Well, I need the date. I need to know.
Pick a race.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay up all night tonight, and that's where I'm going to find one.
You pick a race.
Because you also know I just blew my ankle out, but I'm not a complainer. The Stoics remind us never be heard over complaining, well, even to yourself.
So pick in June, late June, heal up your ankle a little bit. Give me some.
I gave you was in late June. It was June 25th.
So let's do that one.
The one in Stowe, Vermont. You'll fly up here and I'll drive you up there.
So I got to fly in Vermont and September.
No, you got to fly to me.
I know, but that's twice in like 2 months. I got to fly up there.
I'll cover your flights to Virginia.
Oh, it's not the cost thing. It's a time thing. Dude, I got kids and shit. Like Lindsay's got a job.
You just said you were going to drive to this half marathon regardless.
Oh, that's different though. So now I got to figure out, like, that's kind of why I told you. I was like, let's do one in Florida. Pick a half marathon in Florida. That way I'm not flying both times.
Florida's so hot and humid.
Well, I mean, quit making excuses, bud.
I'll look in the Jacksonville area.
Okay. Flying twice would be tough. I'll just be honest. With Lindsay's job, the kids, school, and all that. But I can
in fly September. In September, they'll be in school.
Exactly.
So that's great.
No, that's hard because if Lindsay's working, she can't take them to school.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And we don't have family down there, so.
Well, yes, you do, because I'm going to introduce your Uncle Studley.
Right.
And he's damn good as family.
Good.
He's damn good as family.
Well, let's sign off here, but I'm going to end it with this. Let's run the half marathon.
Okay.
Together. Get me a program, because I don't know shit about running.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it. I will do it.
I know you will.
I'll do dry up April.
If that's what you want to do.
I do. I want to try it. I don't remember the last time I've done it. So yeah, I want to do that.
Okay.
So half marathon, somewhere I can drive. I can't fly twice.
Somewhere you can drive. Because the other one I told you was Nashville is this weekend.
Oh, I can't do a half marathon.
I know. That's why we said it was too soon. Yeah.
Yeah. No way. I don't have it in me.
When you say you can drive, so less than 6 hours from Jacksonville.
Yeah. Somewhere I could drive in the morning, stay a night, and drive the next day.
Okay. Or a place where we can bring the fams.
That's tough with school and my wife's job.
They're not in school now. They're not in school now.
Right. If it's before school, yes.
Yeah. I'm saying like if it's in a month or 2 months. We do a weekend trip.
So Lindsay will probably start work in July.
Yeah. So if we can get do it in a week, if we can do it in a weekend in June.
That's true. So if we can do it in June.
Family meetup,
or I just fly up, then I could probably also make the September date.
Well, June 25th is the Vermont one. I'll give you other options.
Let me talk to Lindsay about it. I think that would work. But yeah. If you can figure out one more.
I will.
Let's figure that out. And then I want to start training like tomorrow because I need every
day. Are you okay with being 165 again? 175?
That'd be weird.
What are you right now? Dude, you're like 5'5".
Get the hell out of here.
5'6"?
Get out of here.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9", dude.
No way. With your shoes on?
No.
Your shoes off. You're 5'9".
What are you, 5'11"?
What's it say on your license?
5'9".
Were your shoes on?
No. I'm 5'9", barefoot.
All right. So you're over 200?
I'm 210, 215.
Wow, you are bulking up.
I mean, I'm thick, dude. I got a belly on me, but I'm...
No, you look good. I'm just saying, I didn't know they stack shit that high, you know?
But yeah, I have been working out, building muscle.
So you'll be 190 then?
185 is where I'd like to be.
You train for a half marathon, you're going to be 180. If you train for a half marathon and you stop drinking, on May 1st, you'll be 185. I can almost guarantee it.
Write the program. Here's the thing, dude. My hardest thing with working out is like trying to figure out what to do and what to come up with and how to structure everything. If you write days for me, that's like realistic for me to do. Don't tell me to run 20 fucking miles.
No. There won't be a run that's longer than 9 miles.
Oh, man. That's okay. So, 9 miles. Holy shit. So,
marathon's 13.
I know, but okay. So, write me a program. I'll follow it. I will.
Are you one of those guys, do you want to know in the morning so you don't know what's coming, or do you want the whole thing laid out? Like, do you want me to text you at 5 a.m, like today's run is, or today is a rest day, whatever? Or do you want the whole thing, or do you want 1 week?
I would like a week out would be good.
Okay. Cause yeah, like my coach tells me in the morning, like day by day. I don't want to know.
No, I'd rather know like a week out. That way I can kind of prep and like schedule my stuff around that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I got like a 2 hour run ahead of me, I need to know that I can do it on it. Like do that day, schedule that day, no meetings, maybe just one video.
9 miles is an hour and a half. That would be your longest training run.
Oh, I could do that.
That's 10-minute pace.
I could do that for sure.
909 is a 2-hour marathon, half marathon.
I'll be honest with you. If I go run 9 miles right now, it'd probably be over a 10-minute pace.
Today, yeah, but...
Yeah, but if I build up to it, yeah, it'd be better.
You're going to break 2 hours for the half marathon. That's 909.
Holy shit, dude. I've never...
I think that's 909. Yeah, 909 is...
I'll tell you this, Brad. I don't think I have that in me.
I think you do. You're gonna let me beat you? No. If you go through with it, your pride is too strong.
Write me a program.
Thank you so much for listening to the Average Money Podcast. This episode has been sponsored by our Discord. JJ is back, and we said when he gets back, we're going to record. But now he's fucking moving again. But he's moving to my time zone, East Coast, Best Coast.
That's right.
So, all right. Thank you so much for listening. Jay, do you have anything to say before we get the hell out of here?
Dry April. Half marathon, start training tomorrow.
Yeah. Best life.
Let's do it, dude.
Best life.
I will say this. If I finish this marathon and run the race, it'll be because of you.
I would love to be that. I love that journey for you. I'd love to be that guy.
Let's do it. You have to write me the program though. If I have the days laid out ahead of me, I'll do it.
I just wrote one for another friend. I have it already in my inbox. I just need to update the dates.
Send it. Vermont, here we come.
Tomorrow's 1 mile.
Post in the Discord where the race is, and anybody who wants to join us can join.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's 1 mile.
Got it. Done.
Okay.
That's the start of the program, 1 mile?
1 mile.
Okay.
When's your birthday? It's Thursday?
31st. Friday.
Friday.
32. I'll tell you this. I've never ran more than probably 4 miles in my life in one setting.
Well, I know what you're doing on Friday. You can start this year 32 off right.
Yikes. I'm excited though, dude. Let's do it.
Dude, I love it. My brother's doing his first triathlon this year. Like, yeah, we're doing shit this year.
If you do this if you set this up for me, I will do it. I'm not lying.
I'm going to sign you up too. I'm going to use the Average Money card and I'm going to sign you up.
Do it.
After I confirm the dates. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but I'm going to meet your criteria. And I'm not going to tell you the date.
Before July and I can do it.
Yeah. July, okay. Yeah. I got the criteria.
Later in June, the better, because that's more time for me to train. Mm-hmm.
And
I'm nervous, dude. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little nervous.
Isn't that the best feeling in the world?
I've never ran over 4 miles. I don't even know if I've ran 4 miles. I think the most I've ever ran is a 5K by myself, just like testing it out.
Mm-hmm. Stronger than you think you are, bud.
All right, let's do it.
All right, guys. We'll make another episode next week. You're going to Florida this week, though?
Yeah, we leave Thursday.
And you'll be gone until Sunday? So I don't think we can be consistent with a day of the week.
Nah, we'll just upload whenever we upload.
But we'll get one up once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. And we can do updates on the training and whatnot. That'll keep me accountable, too.
Yeah. And if you guys... also, I need to mention this. My Instagram got deleted, and I really didn't fight that hard to get it back. I wrote an email, haven't heard anything back. So I didn't tell everyone F you and get rid of it. But if you want to talk sobriety or anything, I have a new Instagram, Brad Finn Runs. You don't have to follow it, but you can DM me there. So that's that. Or hit me up in the Discord for a cup of coffee and help support this podcast.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Have a great night.